All right, 1 Peter 1. You know where we're at. I'm hoping that by the time we get through with verse 2, you'll have it memorized. That's kind of what my objective is that you'll memorize this verse. It's paramount in so many Bible doctrines, and it's paramount in so many ways. I have to tell you that I did not plan to arrive at where we are on this particular day. And so things may seem a little odd, and some of the things we're going to talk about is a little bit would be considered bizarre in some ways. But and I should have. It's been just an incredibly busy week, and I should have talked with Joe more at length. I think we normally do not talk about what we're going to teach on Sundays. So when we are compatible in the teaching, it's totally orchestrated by the Lord. It's not because we have compared notes or anything, but this was one that I probably should have talked to him about if we can get to the things that I want to talk about. About a month ago, I think it was, I was teaching here, and Colt Bass was sitting back there, and some of you will remember this. And this past week, we did a podcast that we should have titled Colt Bass and Joey Gregg. Yeah. We should have titled it that. I talked about it all through the podcast. And what we were talking about, probably in terms of a prayer request, is both Joey and Colt have diminished brain capacity. And which, you know, we talked about that about a month ago. Did y'all hear that podcast where Joey was the star and Colt Bass was the star of the show? It was just an incredible 45 minutes, huh?
I said you put me to sleep.
That's what happens when the introductions is too long. I've learned that. Nonetheless, about a month ago, I was talking about Colt Bass, you know, suffering from diminished brain capacity. I added Joey Gregg to the list. I even used the illustration. There have been times I've called Joey Gregg, and I'll say, "Hey, Joey," and he'll say, because he suffers from that affliction. Truth is we all suffer from that affliction. Now, what we started last week was 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Then here's the line, the next line, through the sanctification of the Spirit. You don't lose sight of the word through, because that is the method that is used to bring us into the selection process of God. How many of you are saved and you know you're saved? I'm going to give you a truth. God chose you. He selected you, and He did it before the foundation of the world, before Adam. God chose you in Him, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. Now, that would appear then to lead us to believe that we had no choice in the matter. But we did have choice in the matter. Listen to this. God never violates man's choice or his free will. It's never happened. So here's the way you understand that if you kind of diagram out those statements, elect, but it's according to the foreknowledge of God. In other words, because God is all-knowing, He knew before you that there would be a you, and He knew what decisions you would make. As a result of His foreknowledge, we can say God divinely chose you that are saved. Okay? And this becomes the awareness of that is through the sanctification of the Spirit. Last week we started into what we call the spirit world. I was amazed this week to learn something. Back in about 2004, I believe it was, the American Scientific Journal had an article in there. Now this is a journal based totally off science. This was the conclusion they drew in 2004. They said, it appears that our reality here on Earth is just a small segment to a larger reality. Now, it took science all of these thousands of years to arrive at that conclusion, when all they would have had to have done is ask a Christian, and we could have told them that that was true.
Amen.
See? But they wrote that out, that we're just a small segment of a larger reality. If you can conceive of what I'm about to tell you here, this is the truth. Listen to this. We are living now here on earth in somewhat of a virtual reality. The larger reality and the larger dimension is the dimension of the Spirit. That is a larger reality, and it is more real than what we see here in our natural eyes. Now, you've heard the teaching. I'll give you the teaching. Pastor Joe's taught on this before, I know, on the triune being of man, body, soul, and spirit. We looked at the verse from 1 Thessalonians 5 that says, may our body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless. So there's three parts to you. Paul the Apostle in his writings looks at man this way. We are carnal, we are natural, then we are spiritual. And he illustrates that through the book of Corinthians. He said, I couldn't talk to you as unto spiritual, but I had to talk to you as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. When I wanted to feed you meat, he said, I could only give you milk because you wasn't able to take the meat. He said, therefore you're carnal. He even said this, when there is envying and strife and divisions among you, that is a sign of your carnality or your fleshly life. I pulled out a book by an author that I've read ever since I got saved, actually. And I believe that he was a prophet of God. I believe that he was probably the wisest prophet that we've had since the turn of the 1900s. He wrote a book that was first published in 1920 called The Spirit World. His name's Clarence Larkin. Clarence Larkin was a great thinker, a great theologian of the Word of God. He was way ahead of his time. Matter of fact, he saw the formation of the nation of Israel, and he rightly divided the Word of God in 1920 and at the turn of the 1900s before 1948 when it actually happened. That's why I've loved his writings. He's got a book on dispensational truth, and he's got a book on the spirit world, where he uses this line in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. You can use a lot of different lines to bridge into the spirit world, but he uses this line, sanctification of the spirit. It is that method that brings us into the awareness of God's all-knowing ability and the selection process of man. It's through the sanctification of the spirit. If we don't understand the spirit world, then we will never know how to properly conduct ourselves in the natural world. Did y'all hear what I just said? Everybody look up here and say, I'm listening. Raise your hand and shout glory. All right, watch this. Listen, let me say it again. If you don't understand the realm of the spirit world, you'll never know how to conduct yourself in this material, carnal world. You won't know what to do. So Clarence Larkin divides man into carnal, natural, and spiritual in agreement with what Paul says. And then in a diagram I was hoping to get a copy of and give to you, he diagrams it out, the triune being of man. And he uses the five senses, as we've talked about before, that is the government of the carnal world, the eye gate, the ear gate, the smell gate, the touch gate, the taste gate. That's what governs man's carnal world. We're constantly trying to bring God into the carnality of our own life and get God to agree with us, but it never happens. Then in the natural man, which is that soulish part of man, there is a government there. And the government of the natural man, he breaks down a little differently than what we have. The natural man, or the soulish part of man, I say that that's where the mind, will, and emotions resides. Well, he breaks it down even further than that. In the natural man, he views the government there as the imagination, which is a powerful word in the Word of God. The conscience, the memory, the reason, and the affection. So it's much the same as mind, will, and emotion. He just breaks it down into biblical terms, actually. Then the spiritual man is where the Holy Spirit gives spiritual insight and life. And Clarence Larkin breaks down the spiritual man's government as these: faith, hope, and love. And therefore, the greatest of these is love. To conclude in the spiritual man, he adds reverence, prayer, and worship as the government of the spiritual man. So that's the triune being of man. Now watch this. All of this is important, and here's why. We read the verse to you last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says this: but the natural man receiveth not the things that are of the Spirit of God. Did y'all hear what I just said? It's right out of the Bible. I'm not making it up. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, the carnal man or the soulish part of man does not have the capacity for the truth of the Spirit of God, or for the embrace of the Spirit of God, for the emotion of the Spirit of God. We're void in understanding that. The only place that you can really tap into the Spirit of God is in your spirit, which requires spiritual insight. But spiritual insight can be blinded by what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, what we feel, and what we imagine. Now, here's why that's important, especially in terms of thinking about Joey Gregg and Colt Bass. And I tell you the truth, if you have them in your mind, it is a dangerous situation. In going into this spirit world teaching, it is relative to what's happening around the world, and especially with Russia and Ukraine. You should have known in coming here that I had to mention that, and I will be talking about it. I didn't plan for it to happen on this day, and if we can get through the whole teaching, I think it'll give you some understanding a little bit about what's going on. It's all spiritually based. Every bit of it is in the Word of God, and every bit of it is spiritually based. But here's what we have to start with. At the creation of man, at Adam and Eve's creation, everybody say again, I'm listening. Amen. At Adam and Eve's creation, they used 100% of their brain capacity. 100%. Now they say, doctors agree with this, scientists agree with this, man is somewhere around 7 to 12% of our brain capacity. That's what we use. Now, what happened to it? What happened to all? See, this is why I love the beginning of the Bible almost as I love the end of it. See, here's why. At the end of the Bible, which is where we're living right now, we are in the right on the verge of being transformed back to the beginning of the Bible. In other words, there's hope for Colt Bass and Joey Gregg. Great hope. They can shoot from using, probably in their case, 2% of their brain capacity all the way back to 100% of their brain capacity. Now, what would that mean exactly? Can you imagine what it was like for Adam to have all 100% of his brain capacity? What was going on at that time? Well, every day he would walk with God in the cool of the day. And because of his brain capacity, he was designed to live forever. Forever. But then something tragic happened. And we studied this. What was Satan's big deal? Well, see, man was created in the image and the likeness of God. In Isaiah 14, we found out that Satan said this: I want to be like God. What is Satan after? He's after man's position. When did God give man complete authority over the earth? It was when he was operating in 100% of his brain capacity. Satan's desire was to rob us of the ability to think. Satan's desire was to rob us of the ability to be interrupted by the natural world and flee into the spirit world. Satan did not want man to live on earth in the bigger reality. He wanted to cut man off from the bigger reality and show him that all there is this natural world. How many of you are following me so far? So in the garden, man sinned. And when man sinned, God said, in that day you're going to die. Now, did Adam die then? No, he didn't die then. But His life was cut from living forever here with 100% brain capacity to a diminished capacity in the brain. Are y'all following me so far? And that resulted in death. Okay, now there's a reason why that this is important. Sin kills your brain. And your brain, operating at a smaller percentage, has less capacity to understand truth, and you become more natural than you are spiritual. You become even more carnal than you are natural. And you are then subservient, if you can hear this, to the unnatural to start happening. Y'all following me so far? So man's days were shortened. I'm going to take you through a little story here from the creation of Adam all the way to the flood. Now, there's an important thing about the flood. There's all kinds of neat things about the flood and things that's hidden in the Word concerning the flood. Here's what Jesus said. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. Somebody's calling me, and Haley is trying to get to my phone that I have zipped up because I forgot to, in diminished brain capacity, I forgot to silence my phone. Listen. That's as exciting as I've ever seen Joey Gray. I mean, he's had revival. That's all there is. He's so proud. He silenced his phone. I didn't. He'll use that against me for the rest of my life. Okay, so here's, listen. When you get to the flood, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Can I tell you that prior to the flood, people lived a whole lot longer than we do now? How many of you know who the oldest man in the Bible was? Methuselah. How old was he? 969 years old. The oldest man in the Bible, get this, this is a Joe Barrett riddle I'm about to give you, because this has got to be something he's already thought of, and I'm going to beat him to the punch. Methuselah was the oldest man in the Bible, lived 969 years, but yet he died before his daddy did. Figure that one out. Enoch was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah lived 365 years, and he was walking with God, and when he walked with God, God said, I think you're a little bit closer to me than you are to the earth. I'm just going to take you home. Enoch is still alive right now. Consider that. How did it happen? Well, can I tell you, listen, now this is where it gets a little interesting, because during the days of Enoch, and there is a book called the Book of Enoch. It's not in the canon of Scripture, but we do have record of what Enoch preached about in the book of Jude. And Enoch said this. Enoch said, these are ungodly times. You're living in an ungodly fashion. And if you read Genesis chapter 5 and all the genealogies, all the way down to Noah, they lived hundreds and hundreds of years. Did you know that Noah was 600 years old when the flood came? 600 years old when the flood came. At the age of 500, the ripe young age of 500 years old, Noah began to build a boat. Now, can I remind you, this is back before steel saws, drill presses, wood lathes. But somehow, this man, by himself, built a boat about the size of an aircraft carrier and somehow had the wisdom to get two of every living kind on that boat with him. Do you think maybe he was using more brain capacity at that time than what we have available today? Now, how could that be? Well, during an ungodly time, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He decided to walk with God. He decided to be in fellowship with God, and it preserved brain capacity. That brings us to a passage here that I want you to, you're going to have to look at it with me. I'm not asking you to agree with me, but I am asking you to consider it. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 6, if you would. Genesis chapter 6. And I've got all kinds of things here. Well, just get to Genesis chapter 6. Everybody say, I'm listening. One of the most bizarre passages in all the Word of God, Genesis chapter 6. And this is where but I think we'll be on the same page. And if we ain't, Pastor Joe can correct us. Amen. I trust that. So I just want to put that in there. Now, when you get to Genesis 6, don't read it. Okay? Just get there and then look up here at me. We're talking about the spirit world. I'm going to say something that's going to be a little weird to you, but I want you to hear me out, okay? If the spirit world is a bigger reality than the natural world, yet those of us that are saved are touched by the Spirit of God, here's what that has to mean. There are portals between earth and heaven that exist even now. Openings, if you will. There has to be. Okay? As a matter of fact, the Bible even tells us about it. Do you remember Jacob's ladder? There was a ladder that ascended to the heavens, and Jacob said the angels were ascending and descending. Why? Because there was an opening. There was a portal between the spirit world and the earthly world. Let me call your attention to this. Remember when Jesus was baptized? The heavens opened. The Father spoke from heaven. The Spirit of God descended like a dove. And God said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. You remember that?
Yeah.
Peter in prison in the book of Acts. Y'all remember that? He was locked up in jail for preaching Jesus, but here come an angel coming from the spirit world to the natural world. And the jailhouse shook, the prison doors opened, and Peter walks out. What about Paul on the road to Damascus? Minding his own business, taking papers of persecution for Christians, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus through a portal from the spirit world into the natural world. Y'all with me? There's another portal talked about in Revelation 19. I hope we're not going to have time to get there, but in Revelation 19, the heavens open, and here comes Jesus riding on a white horse, and guess what? You're coming through that portal with him if you're saved. So there's portals now, openings. That's why I'm constantly, I pray this all the time. Oh God, let there be an open heaven above Grace Place. Amen. Let there be an open heaven above the people that attend Grace Place. Okay? So there's portals. Okay, y'all with me so far? Now listen to this. Read with me Genesis 6. I ain't even got there. So I want you to go to Genesis 6 now. And I'm going to read to you this kind of a bizarre passage. And I want you to listen with an open mind. And we're talking about diminished brain capacity. Let me remind you this before we read. Satan's desire is to take what God has given to man, the position, the authority of the earth. God gave that to man while man was in 100% brain capacity. And Satan wants that. He wants man's position. He's after man's authority. He has to do something to destroy our ability to conceive of truth. Paul stated it accurately. The natural man receives not the things that are of the Spirit of God. So the only way that you can really see what God is doing and what God wants to do is to get out of the carnal world, get out of the natural world, slip into the spirit world, and there you can see mysteries unfolding and revealed to you by the authority of the Word of God. Y'all following me so far? Genesis 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Let me pause. Genesis 6 is pre-flood. Okay? It's during the days of Noah. You with me so far? It's during the days of Noah. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? Look at verse 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, pause there. The identity of these sons of God, daughters of men, it's been talked about for years and years and years. Books wrote about it. Some have said This is the line of Seth, being the sons of God, and the daughters of men, the line of Cain. Okay, and that's the way it was understood for a long time, but that's not the truth of what's going on. The sons of God, Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, is a description of fallen angels who kept not their first estate. As Peter describes in his writings, if we ever get to that verse, then you'll see it. Okay? The book of Jude talks about fallen angels who are reserved in chains of darkness unto the day of judgment. Now, you got to consider that being reserved in chains of darkness means that they are darkened from their ability to communicate with God. It doesn't mean that they're strapped up in hell. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Everybody say amen to
me. Amen.
So here's what's going on. You've got demonic fallen angels taking human form. Now, is that possible? Is it possible for an angel to take a human form? Well, we see that over and over and over again in the Word of God. Matter of fact, there's two angels met with Abraham one time out in the wilderness, ate dinner with him. And here's what the Bible says. You put it however you want to and take it for whatever you need to take it. But the Bible says this about you. God says, hey, be careful how you act around strangers. You might be entertaining angels. So apparently they can take on human form. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I'm reminded of, and it's kind of akin to this, but do you remember when two angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah to take Lot out? Do you remember what happened? The whole homosexual community gathered at Lot's house and said, hey, those two men that came in here, bring them out of here. We want to have them. So apparently, angelic beings that take on human forms probably don't look like Joey Gray. Frees him of that responsibility. We do know angels can take on human form. And here what we have is demonic beings seeing the daughters of men and they want to procreate with them. But don't be confused about the purpose here. The purpose is not necessarily for some kind of a carnal pleasure. I think it has a deeper objective. It is to procreate brain capacity out of the human race. Your ability to conceive of spiritual thought. What we call this is the Nephilim age. And then it goes on to say this. Look at what happens in verse 3 as a result of this. Let's back up and read verse 2 again. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and that they took them wives of all which they chose. Look at verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Uh-oh. Life was shortened as a result of diminished brain capacity. It's my opinion probably, and I don't have any proof of this, it's a little bit of romanology, but I believe that in the garden when man sinned, I believe that man lost half of his brain capacity. It went from 100% to 50%. But during the age leading up to the flood, it continuously dropped, and it continuously dropped. Why? Because demonic beings taking on human form was procreating with individuals that would be lured by their carnality into such a habitation. And as a result of that, their natural man developed imaginations. Now here's where we get back to the power of imaginations in the soul. Everybody, once again, say I'm listening. Okay, this is really important. Imaginations is a big deal in the Word of God. Here's what Paul said about imagination. Let me describe it this way. Imaginations is where fantasy lives. Okay? And fantasy is a powerful weapon. Here's something that you need to know about fantasy. It's never real. That's what makes it fantasy. Let me say it this way. Once fantasy is realized, it's never as good as it was when it was fantasy. Oh, if I just had a different husband. Oh, if I just had a different wife. Oh, if I just had a better car. Oh, if I just had a nicer home. Oh,
Oh, if I just have, and you'll sit around, you dream about these things. It's fantasy. It's all it is fantasy. It's imagination. Now, here's what Paul said about imaginations. Watch this. Casting down strongholds, to bring down strongholds in your life, here's the way you have to do it. You have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Here's what happens when man loses his capacity to think about the things of God. It's found in verse 5 of Genesis 6. Here's what it says. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
That's what brought about the judgment of the flood. Everybody say, I'm listening. Does this mean that, as in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man? What does that mean? How can we interpret that? Well, if you go back to the days of Noah leading up to the flood, this is what's happening. Through portals into the spirit world, demonic beings are coming down, and they're, because of the imaginations of our minds, things are beginning to take place on the earth. That's moving the earth in a direction away from God where we cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So we sit around and talk about them, but our minds are blinded to it. Our ears are deaf to it. Our eyes cannot behold it. We just can't see it and put it all together. How many of you feel like you're living in a dark world? Now, why is this stuff important? Okay, I'm going to have to hurry because I do want to get to what the main kind of the main theme, if you can. All right? Did you know that Vladimir Putin may not be Vladimir Putin? Did y'all know that? Let me just throw this out there at you, and then we're going to go somewhere with it, and then we'll kind of know how to pray for the Ukrainians, who, by the way, is surprising the world.
Amen.
Certainly surprising me. I was never so thrilled in my life. This morning, I heard the news that their internet was going all whoppy-jawed over there, and Russia was trying to take out the internet. And so the foreign minister of Ukraine sent a tweet to Elon Musk, and he said, they're destroying our internet. We can't communicate. And Elon Musk said, I'll have you fixed in 2 hours. And he turned his satellites toward the Ukraine so that they could have internet to communicate with one another.
Amen.
Somebody better say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, they're fighting for freedom.
Yeah. Yes.
On every newscast across every nation, they were talking about how the Ukrainians was outnumbered, how they were outnumbered. They was outnumbered until they put guns in all their citizens' hands. Now, against an army of 200,000, you've got 3 million citizens in Kyiv. And so far, they're not bowing. They're not running. And we need to pray for them.
Amen.
Now, you've heard me talk about Ezekiel 38 and 39, and it's a fascinating passage of Scripture. But I'm going to go quickly here because we're out of time. We'll pick up with this next week because it's important. This is the spirit world invading the natural world. Ezekiel 38, I'm not going to have you to turn there. I'm just going to tell you. Here's what it says. It talks about a king named Gog. He rules over the land of Magog, which we know as Russia. Okay, now watch. Here's where it gets a little interesting. If you go to Amos chapter 7, verse 1, I'm not going to ask you to turn there either, but listen, in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in the Septuagint version, it talks about who this king is. It gives identity to the king of Magog. And it calls him the ruler, in the English version, it calls him the ruler of the grasshoppers. But the term grasshoppers in Amos 7:1 is actually translated as locusts. Now that's interesting because in Revelation 9, the bottomless pit is open. And what John said was a swarm of demonic locusts come flying onto the earth. A portal, if you will. An opening from the spirit world into the natural world of demonic beings. Who is the king of these locusts? It is God, the leader of Magog. Now, does that mean that Vladimir Putin and even, listen to this, the leader of those locusts is identified in Revelation 9 in the Hebrew tongue, Abaddon. In the Greek tongue, Apollyon, it says. So it is a principality, demonic principality, that's leading the locusts coming up onto the earth and being released all over the earth. Is Vladimir Putin this Apollyon or this Abaddon? He could be. I'm not saying that he is, but he could be. Here's what we do know, that the leader of the land of Magog in Ezekiel 38, when that event takes place and they march down through it, all those countries are listed, when they march down through to Israel, into Jerusalem to do war, we do know he's a demonic being. I believe an offspring from a demonic creature who saw a daughter of men. And that daughter, who was filled with carnality, embraced this demonic human form and gave birth to someone who does not have the brain capacity to conceive of the things of God. Here's the thing that I'm trying to tell you. What's happening in the Ukraine is horrible, but can I tell you this? Listen, it's not just about natural consequences. There's spiritual consequences at stake here, and you've got to see it. The eyes of your understanding has got to be pulled back so you can understand what God is actually doing on the earth. You've got to see that. Now, why is this relative to where we are? We entertain angels unaware. We also entertain demons unaware. You with me? And it has but one design. It has but one description. And that design and that description is to take your mind away from the things that God wants you to see. It's why I believe, and if you can bear with me just for a minute, it's why that I am convinced that we're living in an age where it appears as though, it just appears this way to me, it appears that you and I and much of the world is living in the realm of imagination instead of in the realm of the spirit. When we live in the realm of imagination and fantasy takes hold, it opens you up to a portal of demonic influence. Okay? But if you live in the realm of the spirit, it opens you up to a portal of an open heaven. And you can always tell how we live our lives as to what portal we are close to. Are you with me? Y'all following me? I was really interested in what Putin offered to Zelensky. And I'm going to wrap up here. Well, I'm just about done. What Putin offered to President Zelensky the other day, he said this. Now watch, you got to understand that President Zelensky of the Ukraine is on the kill list out of Russia. They're wanting to kill him. He knows that. He, if you've seen the videos, he put out a message and said on TikTok, and he said, they want to kill me, they want to kill my children, they want to kill my wife, they want to kill my family, but I'm here and I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. America even offered to fly him out, and he said no. A couple days ago, Putin offered to talk with him, wanted to talk with him. He said, we'll set up a meeting in Belarus. Well, Belarus is a Russian puppet state. Now, wouldn't that have been interesting? Yeah, you've got me on the kill list, but you want to take me away from all my country and all my people to talk. I'm sure Zelensky said, you're not wanting to talk, you want to put a bullet in my head. So Zelensky responded this way. He said, I won't meet you there, but I will meet you in Israel. In Israel? He even said this, and I hope that we as Americans will listen closely to this. President Zelensky said Israel was the only democracy on the earth now that could be trusted. I'm telling you guys, listen. See this book I hold called the Bible? It's true. It's true. It's not a myth. It's not something to play with. It's true. And if we don't understand it and get into it and believe it, You're going to live in a demonically controlled world. I'm sharing this with Haley. This is just to build confidence in you. Okay, this is all this is about. I want to build confidence in you concerning your relationship with the Lord God. I shared this with Haley the other night. I learned this just this past week, and probably I hope I can articulate it right. Okay? I don't know if I can, but I'm gonna try. In the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is called the Torah. Okay? It is spelled in the Hebrew language, it's spelled T-O-R-H. That's how it's spelled, Torah, in the Hebrew language. How many of you know that numbers are important in the Bible? Numbers. Like 6 is the number of man. 7 is the number of God. Completion, perfection. So any multiple of 7 you find, it's a number of God. Any multiple of 6 is the number of man. That's why the Antichrist sends out this mark and says you can't buy or sell unless you have the mark. And here's, the Bible says, herein is wisdom. Here's the number of the mark. 666. It's the number of man. Okay? So number 7 is important. The first books of the Bible, the first 5 books of the Bible is called the Torah. Listen to this. In the book of Genesis, every 49th letter from the beginning, starting at the beginning, count 49 letters, you have a T. Go 49 more letters, you have an O. You go 49 more letters, you have an R. You go 49 more letters, you have an H. Spells Torah. 49, it's a multiple of 7. 7 squared spells out Torah. Now that's cool. That's a cool thing, you know. But then in Exodus, it happens again. Every 49th letter, T. Next 49th letter, O. The next one, R. The next one, H. In Leviticus, there's nothing. Interesting. Get to Numbers, every 49th letter, it goes backwards. H. 49 letters, R. 49 letters, O. 49 letters, T. Deuteronomy, same way. 49 letters, H. Spells Torah backwards. 49 letters, R. 49 letters, O. 49 letters, T. So here's what you got. You've got Torah spelt from left to right in Genesis and Exodus. Torah spelt from right to left in Numbers and Deuteronomy. You go back to Leviticus, and every 7th letter spells out Yahweh. Here's the interesting fact. In Jerusalem, right now, every nation to the east of Jerusalem that speaks a different language writes their language from right to left. Every country from to the west of Jerusalem writes their language from left to right. Do you think God arranged this book to be an amazing, absolute truth?
Sure.
Listen to this. When the flood happened, the boat landed on Mount Ararat in the month of Nisan, the 7th month, on the 17th day. Interesting. Jesus was crucified in the month of Nisan on the 14th day. He rose again on the 17th day. The same day the boat lands on Mount Ararat was the same day that Jesus was resurrected. Listen to this. After the flood, God changed the month Nisan from the 7th month to the 1st month of the year, representing to Noah a brand new beginning, representing at the resurrection, you and I have a brand new beginning.
Amen. Amen.
You see, God arranged this book to be true. You can't deny it. It's absolutely undeniable. So here's why I tell you those things. I tell you those things for this reason and other. There's portals from earth into the spirit world. Be careful which portal you're around. Because these are dangerous days and people are dying because of the opening of these spirit world portals into the natural world. You better have the wisdom of God. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but for the wicked imaginations of their heart, I will wipe them out. But Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Don't get caught up in the fact that because you're you and you live in America, you're free from the judgment of God. We're not. We weep for the people in Ukraine while we kill innocent children in our own country. The judgment of God is not far behind.
Right.
You say, well, I don't like to hear about that. That's right. You know why you don't like to hear about it? Because you're natural. And the natural man receiveth not the things that are of God. Now listen, do you know that when Ezekiel 38 and 39 happens, and that's what we're seeing is the beginnings of it, that happens after we're gone. It's completed after we've done left the earth. Jesus has already come to us. Right? You say, I don't like to hear about that. It's because you're natural. And you receive not the things of God. Be careful what portal you're opening up. Did y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Father, help us, Lord Jesus, today. I pray, God. You'll take your word, apply it to our hearts. Make us students of your word and help us to gain understanding of your truth in an amazing way. Bring confidence back into our lives of the authority of your word to the point that all we want to do is just study it, listen to it, learn it. Open our eyes that we may see. Restore our capacity through the Holy Spirit to receive the things that are of you. We love you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.